Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and it's the Ask Her question and answer time. We've got three good questions. The first one, what happens to your body when you stop taking the birth control? Well, we're talking about the pill here, all right? So what happens when you do that? Well, all right, let's just sort of make sure you understand how this works. Obviously, there's lots of different kinds of birth control pills out there, but there's no real waiting period to bring your body back to its baby making ways. Once you stop taking the pill, the extra hormones leave your body and you can start ovulating again, meaning you could get pregnant right away. So you never know. Is this true for everyone? Nah, you know how it goes. There's a big long spectrum and variability always when it comes to women's bodies. But just saying. So women get on the pill for many beneficial reasons, such as more regular cycles, lighter periods, fewer cramps, improved symptoms of PMS, and the more severe version of really bad PMS, and then clearer skin as well. The pill can also be used to treat polycystic ovarian syndrome. So there's lots of reasons why you take it. So when you stop taking it, you're likely to experience the same issues you dealt with before. Well, duh, right? This could mean irregular, heavy, or painful periods, cramps, acne, or other PMS symptoms like, you know, headaches, cravings, breast tenderness, and many of these can return in full force. But as long as your periods were regular before the pill, your periods and ovulation will resume as soon as you stop, for the grand majority of women. Now, some women do report that they have what they call post-pill amenorrhea. So right after they quit the pill, you know, you may not get a period for 2 or 3 months after stopping the pill. And really what's happening is your body's sort of readjusting, adapting, adjusting to normal hormone production all over again. Basically, it's like you're slapping your ovaries going, hey, wake up already, you know, come on. You've been asleep while we've been doing the pill, so time for you to amp up here with some of your own natural hormones. You may also actually be able to feel yourself ovulating. Woohoo! About 20% of women may feel cramps or discomfort in their lower abdomen as their ovaries get ready to release an egg. Interesting. And sometimes you get an increased amount of cervical mucus, and that's the fluid that looks like egg whites on your underwear. So all those things take place right after you get off the pill. So what do you think of that? All right. Next question. Why is it so difficult to lose those last 10 pounds? Well, part of this depends upon how much you just lost. If you're someone who just dropped 100 pounds, you got 10 more to go. Come on. You know, let's just be happy with that 100 or the 50 or the 40, for crying out loud. So don't lose perspective of the tremendous accomplishment that you've already achieved. Don't diminish it by saying, eh, I can't get those last 10 off. Well, come on. You just dropped 100 or 50 or 40. So, you know, keep that in mind at all times. Now, here it is. You know, the last 10 pounds are always harder to shed, and it's not always exactly 10. It's just that last drop. It could be 5, 10, even 15. And they're always harder to do that because really, the slimmer you become, the fewer calories you burn just going about your daily activities. And that's normal. For every pound you drop, your metabolism slows up a little bit, sometimes by 20 calories a day. But you've got some great news here, ladies. There are easy tweaks to good habits you've already established that can push you past your plateau. So here's the gig. You can't keep doing the same thing you did 50 pounds ago. What you've got to do is now, mostly because your body can do it now, amp up the intensity of your training, and that means your physical activity. So that means that you want to be able to act more like a Ferrari and not like a Volvo. You want to be able to cook those calories much more efficiently with high level, real simple intensity training. And that can happen in very simple 15-minute workouts, but you got to sweat it up, recover, sweat it up, recover. Look up high intensity interval training. Do it for 15 to 20 minutes. Works like a charm. The next thing you want to do is try to add in as much, assuming the vertical throughout the day, as possible. Don't ever think that just because you worked out for an hour in the morning that you could sit on your doofus the rest of the day. Wrong answer, because when you do, you metabolically glacierize. So you've got to try to stay as physically active as possible. Also, the other thing, too, is now that you've dropped and shed a boatload of weight, or shed any level of weight, especially if it's been a boatload, you have to make sure that you're cooking a good 400 calories a day every single day that you can, because there's always an energy deficit that takes place, just as I mentioned before about your metabolic rate. So please, please, please find every excuse you can to be consistent and to try to stay as physically active as humanly possible. And try to use a tracker like a pedometer or a Fitbit or anything like that so that you can stay accountable. Don't get comfortable and lazy in your ways. You've got to stay on top of this as much as you can. And most importantly, you've got to do this patiently. You can't please, right, expect this to happen overnight. Chip away at it. And that means that look at how you eat, very importantly. Whatever you do, try to eat in a way that is satisfying, that is protein rich, that has high quality fat and carbohydrate as well. And then in the best of all worlds, try to leave a good solid 12 hours in the evening when you haven't eaten. In other words, you're done with your dinner, wake up in the morning, and you've got a good solid 12 hours. Works like a charm. It's a great secret on the part of people who've been able to sustain their success over time. So yeah, you can do it, but please, 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 try to stay as consistent as possible. You're going to have to change it up and cross-train as much as you can. Don't get stale in your ways, both nutritionally and as well as physical activity. All right, and our last question here, how long should I stretch before and after working out? What kind of stretches should I be doing? All kinds of studies here, ladies, in her radio land, caution people that you want to be careful about what you're doing with these stretching maneuvers that people are doing. The grand majority of people really would do real well to loosen up with something just dynamic, like high knee kicks, real simple things like this, front kicks, back kicks, where you hit your glutes, that's your behind, with your feet by bending your knee back, hip circles, rolling your leg out into the front with a bent knee, simple squats could be done against the wall, and very light lunges or some biking and elliptical or just plain walking at a little bit more of a brisk pace. Really important to stay on top of this and try to keep stretching as simple as possible. So whatever you do, don't do anything radical and jerky. All right? So there's your three questions. What happens to your body when you stop taking birth control pills? Why it's so difficult to lose those last 10 pounds? And what about that stretching before and after your workouts? Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Dynamic is what counts more than anything else. Oh boy, there you have it. Now, please keep sending us all your wonderful questions to askher@radiomd.com because we love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Pam Peake. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And whatever you do, stay well.